podcast listening apparatus. And if you're really into this thing, I need you to go over to Apple Podcasts, give this show a 5-star review, let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. Why would you keep a great thing like this to yourself? Why wouldn't you just share it? You know, spread sunshine all over the place and put on a happy face. And if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to the next level, to an even deeper level, I need you to go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival. Subscribe, $3 a month, hours and hours of bonus content of me blabbing into the abyss and me blabbing to into the abyss with special guests. And it's a good time back behind the paywall. And I want to give a special shout out to Philip M. Thank you so much, sir, for subscribing. I really appreciate you. Be like Philip M. and get behind that paywall and enjoy yourself back there. This is episode 509. I have a super special return guest, film critic Tim Hall, a.k.a. the People's Critic. Really excited to share my conversation that I had with him with you in a bit. Right now, I just want to catch up with you. I'm sitting here in my apartment recording this intro. It's actually on a Saturday and not on a Sunday. I find it better when I do these, you know, before, and I can do the, you know, do what I need to do with my life, because you guys don't give a shit. But I've recorded this on a Saturday. It's a rainy Saturday, Memorial Day weekend. I hope that everybody is safe, and you know, as you raw face it, as the great homie Mike B says, as you raw face it out there in the midst of, if you're vaccinated, what else do I want to say? Yeah, just be safe. You know, maybe the weather will the bad weather will kind of put a somewhat of a stop on the people going super ape shit. But I've always noticed when it rains, people seem to drive faster. And that just, even with the rain as an impediment, people just still seem to go apeshit. So regardless, just be safe out there as you raw face it in the world, as we try to put this pandemic behind us. We're still losing people, quiet as it's kept. Cause I just found out about, losing somebody that I grew up with, was not super close friends with him, but I played basketball with him. Won a championship with this dude. He was our point guard, and he died because of COVID, and I don't think he got vaccinated. So now vaccines are as ubiquitous as Starbucks. So there's kind of no excuse. You should get them. It helps. I was looking at the percentages of the states that had the percentages of people that had one dose as opposed to the percentage of people that are fully vaccinated. And that shit doesn't look great. When you break stuff down and you see the numbers, it just looks like we're just shooting ourselves in the foot, you know, and we're not shooting ourselves with the vaccine, guys. How about that? We're not doing that. We should be. You know, it's like people always say, it's kind of a hack joke now, but it's a stock joke where it's like, if you can eat McDonald's, you can get the vaccine. If you fucking drink alcohol or whatever the fuck you do, get the fucking vaccine so we can get to this place of normalcy that we always talk about, that we fucking throw around like a frisbee. And it's just fucking meaningless. You know, it's like some people, it's kind of a cause for celebration for the people that have been doing what we were supposed to be doing, following the CDC guidelines. And now that everything's opening up, people are getting kind of reckless. So we'll see. I mean, the challenge for me now is, like, you know, the movie theaters are opening up, and do I want to raw face it in the at the movie theaters? They lifted the mask ban if you're not the mask ban. What do you call it? The mask mandate if you're fully vaccinated. But how do you know? How do you know? You can't ask people. I don't know. But so it goes. What else has happened to me? I went to got to see my parents. Hadn't seen them in 15 months. That happened. I was glad to do that. Happy to do that. Finally able to do that. And felt really safe about it. That's you know, TPS reports still going on at the day job and all that. So, you know, what else happened to me within the last week? I got a screen protector for my iPhone. How about that? that's pretty fun. I got a screen protector for my iPhone and for my the back for the little the camera lenses. So I feel more I feel safe. My iPhone is safe. Other than that, that's pretty much it, guys. I want to get you to Tim Hall. Tim has been on the show during the pandemic, and it's been a while since he was on, and we text every now and then and stuff. So I just wanted to check back in with him. If you're a Patreon subscriber, you can listen to Tim and I review Wildcat and Without Remorse, the Georgina Campbell movie. And the new Michael B. Jordan movie on Amazon Prime. And so that's behind the paywall. We kind of shoot the shit about that. But this is just Tim and I catching up and talking about the past year and just having a good time. He's one of my faves to talk to. And I hope I believe that he's one of yours. So without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with the great Tim Hall. I asked my boss yesterday, I was like, can I just take a personal day? And she's like, oh yeah, sure. That's the Returnal's coming out on PlayStation 5 and
that is out.
Yeah, yeah. Are you gonna get it?
I'm thinking about it. My homeboy he's been talking about it, so I might get it.
It's good.
I've been playing MLB the
show. Oh, okay. How is that?
Yeah. It's fun, man. I've been getting smoked though, man. I keep striking out. Like,
yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah,
I haven't.
Been in, it's good though. I enjoy it.
I haven't been into baseball. I don't know. I don't know any of the players now, so I don't know.
No,
not really. No, I haven't been into baseball in ages. I'm sure
that was my first love of baseball.
Yeah,
first love was. Yeah, you know, as a kid, I lived in Northern California.
Right.
And I love the Oakland A's. That are those late 80s Oakland A's teams were mm-hmm. ridiculous. I cried when they lost the World Series to the Dodgers.
Yeah.
I remember my great grandma's house, like crying because I was like, I can't believe it. They got swept.
Is that Ricky Henderson, Jose Canseco, and Mark McGwire?
Dave Henderson,
Eckersley.
Walt Weiss, McGwire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was the whole squad. Dave Stewart. Then they won the next year against the Giants. That was the Battle of the Bay when they had the earthquake, and it was off for 10 days and came back and won.
Yeah. I used to get all those games, like thinking of like RBI baseball.
Yeah, I remember that.
What was the first one? Tony La Russa, the Tony La Russa game.
Remember Nintendo had that Little League baseball game?
I do remember that. Yeah.
That used to be fun. Man. I used to play that a lot.
Yeah, I used to watch the Little League World Series. I still do every now and then. Every now and then I'll check it out when I remember that it's on. Obviously, I guess maybe last year it wasn't, but
right.
I mean.
Wait, so the new game, you've been playing it?
Yeah, I had pre-ordered Returnal a couple months ago, and I played it for about an hour. I thought there was no way I was going to play it at midnight because I think I was recording another show, and I was like, okay, let me just chill. I was like, it was like 10:30. I'm not going to make it.
Yeah.
I'm not, I was like, I'm not gonna make it. And I had started downloading it at like maybe like 11:15, and I fell asleep on my couch and I looked at my phone, and I got the app on my phone, and it
Yeah.
was like, Returnal's ready to play. And I was like, well, I'm not. You know, so
So
I,
far, so good.
but it, yeah, it's good. It's a good game. It's hard. It kicked my ass for an hour, because it's like this. It's called a roguelike game where you go into these different rooms, and when you die, you have to start over again from the beginning. So you play this astronaut that crash lands on this planet, and it's infested with all these aliens, and you walk up on this dead body, and it's your body. It's a replicant of, it's just like, it's like your body, and
Wow.
she doesn't know how she's got into this death loop. So you figure out, you try to, the goal is to figure out why you're in the death loop and to kill all these aliens and shit. And you get all these crazy guns and with lasers, and one of the guns looks like the gun in that movie Ken. You remember that?
Yeah, I love it. I like that movie.
That's a good movie. I bought that last year on Blu-ray. I bought this like the, I think it was like a Best Buy or Walmart steel book exclusive or something like that. Yeah. But
I'll
it's
check it
fun.
out. I might check it out. Because
Yeah.
they have an alien game like based on the alien universe coming out.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, it just looks fun. You got hella weapons and there's aliens coming at you on a ship and you gotta like survive
Yeah.
planet. Then you're on F-426 at some point. I don't know. But I saw a trailer for it and I was like, this looks like my type of bag. It's a fun video game and a movie franchise I love, so.
Yeah, it's this Returnal is all the nerds, the critics, they are like really into it, and they are, this is like the first PS5 game that's like, this is a PS5 exclusive.
Wow.
This is the one right now. Like, there's one dude that was like, this is his game of the year so far. So
Already?
yeah, already.
Probably got it earlier.
Yeah, he probably had it for like a week before.
Yeah.
One of my buddies had it, had the big PlayStation code for like a couple days now. But how has it been for you in Seattle? Have you, are you getting the vaccine? Are you
Vaxxed up, buddy.
vaxxed up?
Got it. My last shot on April 3rd.
Okay, that's what's up. What'd you get?
Pfizer. I got a Pfizer.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
You know, I didn't care what you could have gave me, whatever. You could have,
Yeah.
Corona, whatever.
Right.
I was down for trying to help, trying to do my part and social,
Sure.
do all those things. So, but Seattle's been cool. Like a lot of places. Like if you're in Seattle, you get a lot of people who are definitely more left leaning, who are going to try to do those things. But when you get outside of Seattle, like an hour in any direction, it's a lot of Trump country and anti-vaxxers. And so me and my friend, we went and we got massages. She was like, hey, I'm buying you a massage. We've had a crazy 2021. Let's just go. After the massage, we went to go eat down by like South Lake Union. And I ran into like an anti-mask rally, which was super random. And then in my head, I was like, we're almost done.
Yeah.
Why you're a year ago, maybe this, I think it's still dumb,
Right.
maybe, but like right now, it was like maybe 60 people. Like, I was just like, y'all gotta relax, man. Just to hold on for a couple more months, and you can go do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
So, well, stuff's opening up. Like they're having fans at the Sounders game, fans at Mariners games. I imagine when the Seahawks start playing next fall, there'll be fans there. So it's slowly starting to open up.
Yeah. Our I think I don't know if they got rid of the curfews here. I think New York's about to lift their curfew this
I saw
weekend.
that. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like comedy's coming back, and I got to figure out how to not bomb. I'm more scared of
You gonna hit the stage?
eventually, like I got a date in June, and but I need to get up before that, so I got to figure
Feel
something
like
out.
you might get a little rusty.
I think there's gonna be like some rust, but I don't think like it's like when you go back to a video game, you know how to play it, but you're like, oh shit, I keep dying a lot, but I don't know. I think I'll be okay, but.
Listen, it's that I was talking to this young lady today, this week about it at work, about some other stuff, and like we started talking about imposter syndrome and suffer from it. And there are moments. I'm sure you'll have a moment where you're like, "What if I bomb?" But you look at like a good comic. I've opened for people. I've done this comedy album is successful. Why am I thinking I don't know what I'm doing? So I was telling her, I was sitting in the green room one time before I went on television to talk about some movie. I had a moment of like, what if I don't know what I'm talking about? And like, I start sweating. And I was like, hey man, relax. I tell myself like, relax. And I learned this trick from reading this Phil Jackson book about like visualizing everything. So I like close my eyes. I visualize going out on the set, everything going smoothly. Remember what I was saying, and just I played it through my head, and it calmed me down. And I went out, and it went great.
Oh, cool. That's good. I do that a lot too. Like I visualize myself doing well, but I think there's just always when you care about stuff, you usually do get the nerves and the anxiety. But I think once I get out there, I'll be okay. But it's just trying to figure out what I want to talk about, how I want to talk about, and then just coming back. Because I felt like before the lockdown, I was starting to turn a corner artistically. And but so I'm just trying to figure it out. But it's I think it'll be okay. But I need to get up a few times before that date next month.
You nail it, man. I'm not turning it
I'm
on.
gonna try. What is it? What is the last year? When did we last talk? We talked like I think we talked like we did talk last year.
We did talk last year.
We talked like we and we text throughout the year about stuff that we can't talk about on here because we were both we, I think you're one of the nicest
Canceled.
people. We're one of the nicest people on social media. It's a, I think it's a you're like in a dead heat with Leonard Brothers as the nicest black dude on Twitter. But
Listen.
and even the stuff we talk about that we can't talk about on here, it's not that it's not bad. It's not that bad, but it's just like, ah, we shouldn't talk about that.
But I also think conversations are different if you're reading them versus hearing them or in them. Like I learned early on in my social media life to like avoid that. Like, yeah, certain things, it's just not gonna read right. Don't do it. It's not gonna sound right. It's like if you're with the homies and you goofing around, this joke will hit the way it's supposed to hit, or this comment or an observation versus like, people peeling back a bunch of layers. Like my friend was we go hard in our fantasy football league. We're friends. It's a lot of, if I'm playing you this week, it's a lot of trash talk. And my friend was saying one time, he's it's a good and a bad. He's a graphic designer. He's good at it. And he was making a picture of me, my face on something probably wildly inappropriate. And he was typing it up, and his wife saw it and was like, "Are you and Tim still friends?" It's just, I'm playing him this week in fantasy. It's fine. Like, he doesn't have the context for like why this is funny and how I wouldn't even be offended by it. I'm probably gonna laugh at how ridiculous this is. But if you don't have any context, it can be a crapshoot. Like for real.
That's true. That's true.
Just me talking, I've been all right. I mean, it's been rough. Like, lost my dad like Christmas Eve, which was crazy. He was, much like you. Like, I hear Rob talk about his dad. Like, me and my dad, I got a cool dad. He was like the coolest dad and supportive of anything I ever did. Like, always, no matter what I said I was doing, he was always like, go ahead, like, you got this. And I was so thankful. And I was happy. So the lady, Margaret Larson, used to do the show New Day Northwest. And that's the show I went on television the first time ever to talk about the Golden Globes. And the last time I was there, I thanked her because I was like, this is the only moment my dad gets to see me do any of this. Like, he never gets to see it. He hears about it. And my, you know, I sent him, you know, YouTube videos. My sister would show him, and he was always so proud.
Yeah.
So he ended up getting COVID. You know, it's Florida, and like his nursing home was really locked down, and no one could go in and out. And when he, early on in the summer, I'm telling my sister, like, hey, man, I don't think dad, like, we got to keep him lifted, because if he gets it, because he was at that age where he was having pneumonia every year and in and out the hospital for a little knick-knack old people shit. And then, because he was 78.
Uh-huh.
So when she called me earlier that weekend, like, hey, dad got COVID. He was just in the hospital for pneumonia like 3 weeks before. So, but they're going to monitor him. So that was like a Saturday. Sunday, she was like, they're still monitoring him. Monday, she said, I want to visit him. His breathing's really labored. And I could hear she was concerned. And I was like, okay. By that Wednesday, he's in like an oxygenated room. And they're like, we're going to see how he progresses through Christmas. Christmas Eve, my sister called me Christmas Eve morning. She's like, yeah, dad's got like 5-6 hours left, like essentially. And so, and God bless his doctors for being honest enough to like, be like, look, this is kind of what it is. And if you want people who want to say goodbye, like this is your moment to do it. So I was thankful. I mean, it sucks saying goodbye to your dad on like FaceTime.
Uh-huh.
But I'm happy my sister was there. I went down there and hung out. I hate Florida at this point. I went down and hung out for a couple of days, and it was jarring to see people just out and about. This was early January. I stayed at the town center, near the town center in Jacksonville. It's like this outdoor mall that's super open. And it was packed every day. Restaurants packed, stores packed, people just not wearing masks. And I was just like, man, where am I at?
Uh-huh.
So then as we're grieving that, my mom gets sick. No, she's not even sick. She's not feeling well, goes to the hospital. She calls me because she's trying to leave. And the doctor's like, yeah, you can't leave the hospital. We have to have open heart surgery. He sort of breaks it down for me for like a half hour. I'm asking questions. Now, Chris, I'm not concerned at all. My mom is tough. She's 66. My homegirl, her dad had the same surgery literally a year before. He's good. He was in terrible health shape. He's fine. The homie Dion, his mom had a surgery too. She's fine. She was older than my mom when she had it. Like, so I'm not even nervous. We're checking with the nurses, and so my last conversation with my mom was about like having better energy. I was like, man, you really upset a lot. You carry a lot of that. And it's like an older Black people thing. Like this, a lot of that like civil rights anger. And I was like, you gotta like let some of that shit go. Like moving forward, let's get you healthier. Get some teas in your body. Let's get you, you live right by this college. You can go walk in. That's our last conversation. And she was upset because I had to be an adult and be like, you can't do this kind of stuff no more. How you eating, like, that's gotta go. So she's like pissed at me, but I'm not thinking I'm never gonna talk to my mom again. Like, we'll talk on Monday after she's recovering. We'll figure out a plan. My sister called me that Friday and it's like, mom, 5 a.m. She's like, mom passed away last night. I'm thinking she's joking. I'm like, man, why are you calling? It's 5:30. Like, I don't gotta get up for work for like another hour. She was like, I'm serious. And so we end up having, we were both kind of in shock for like a day. Kind of in shock, like, I know she didn't just pass. And then it sort of all, the reality hit. I ended up not going back down to Florida. But I will say something I did learn through this whole process was, like, knowing what you want when you pass is important. Like, my dad was very vocal about what he wanted. He wants to be cremated. He wants his ashes dumped in the Bay Area. My mom wants her ashes put in a tree. So then you get a bunch of family that comes out of nowhere with all kind of, we should do this. We should do that. Like,
nope.
My mom was explicit, and so was my dad, about what they wanted. So, everybody's good. I mean, I got a good friend group, good people around me, people who've checked in. Say this, how much I love Black women. Like, the Black women in my life they're just popped up. Like, my homegirl Keisha just called me, like, this is right after my mom passed, called me and was just like, I'm bringing you some food. And just, I didn't even know she called me and was like, she texted me, like, it's on your porch. Brought me some food, bought me some melatonin because I wasn't sleeping well. She was like, you know, my homegirl Adrian just called me. Like, I just texted her. We had been talking about my mom. So I texted her that morning, like, hey, you know, I'll let you know my mom passed. Call me. What do you need? Like, my friend Leah, like all these black women in my life. Not that the homies aren't supportive. I think they have a way of being supportive in a way that they show up in a way that's super important. They know. I don't know what it is, but people were supportive in ways I didn't know I needed at the time that I actually needed it. And it's been helpful, and it's what's gotten me to this point today where I can talk without crying. I can, you know what I mean? I can engage. I can, you know, share loving memories of my parents and my dad and that kind of stuff. So, but I don't even feel crazy because so many people are going through it. So many people, loved ones. You know, we were talking the other day about losing friends, like not from death, but just the way they're behaving through the pandemic. Like, I
Oh my
can't
God.
no more.
You should see some of the text chains, like we sending each other a screenshot. Did you see what this motherfucker said?
It's a lot of that.
Like, God damn.
You mourning the friendship. Like, man, I thought you was cool, and now you damn near a QAnon supporter the way you talking on this. Like, I ain't rock with you like that. So it's been a lot. It's been a heavy year for a lot of people. So I don't even feel like I'm going through this solo. Like, I had mentioned it on social media that my parents passed, and like so many people DM me, haven't gone through something real similar. Window being like, hey man, hold your head. I lost my aunt and my grandma, and like I got so many of those messages that were super encouraging, and people just being honest and transparent about how they're feeling. So
Yeah, man, it has been a rough year, man. It's nothing like losing your parents. I mean, my
yeah,
uncle passed away a couple weeks ago, and
you told me
like,
that.
yeah, I was, I would, I think on the main feed I talked about it, but on the Patreon I was doing an episode. I was recording. I was talking about him. I had to fucking cut the thing off. I thought I had got all the tears out.
Nah, you don't.
I was like,
It was funny
God.
because I was telling my sister that something had happened with my mom, and she got all emotional. I was like, this is gonna keep happening. So I was blessed to have two great moms in my life. My other mom passed away a few years ago from cancer. And we were talking about imposter syndrome. So the first time I was ever on television, it had been 2 years since she passed. I go to call her as I'm in
Oh.
the studio. Like I go to my phone to, and it hit me. Like I'm scrolling for her name, and I was like, shit. Like my sister's buying a new house. And I told her, I said, there's gonna be a moment where you're gonna say, I can't wait to have dad over. Or you know what I'm saying? Like Mother's Day's coming up, you're gonna be like, I gotta stop by mom's house. I'm gonna say, like my birthday just passed last week. My dad called me every year since I was 17. No bullshit. It's to sing happy birthday. Every year. And there was a moment this on my birthday, I was like waiting for my dad to, or checking to see if I missed a call. And I was telling my sister, man, you're just gonna have those moments. And for you, it'll be a random song. Like I cried like a baby at the end of that Tribe Called Quest documentary. The one that Michael Rapaport did years ago. But my brother passed when I was 17. He had a brain aneurysm. It's funny when I tell people they think it was like some gun violence or some gang shit. I was like, no, he was a nerd. He just had a brain aneurysm. People are always like, your brother passed at 19? Like they're expecting like some crazy ass. I'm like, no, he had an aneurysm. Like he was a fucking nerd. Like,
Oh my God,
but
that's
yeah, but you know how you talk to people, they're like, what happened? I'm like, he had an aneurysm. They're like, oh. Like, yeah, it wasn't like
and
some
they're like, oh, so they he didn't get
shootout or some,
shot.
yeah.
No
Yeah.
police brutality and
Natural
just
causes, yeah. It wasn't the cops.
regular death.
But he got, yeah, right. He got me into like hip hop and like all the comic book shit, and it hit me watching the movie. He got me into Tribe Called Quest, so I'm bawling in the theater. Like, this guy must really love Tribe. Like he's moved. He was a big Fight fan. Like this guy, but you know, it'll hit you. And you gotta just let it, if it hits you, it hits you. That's what I learned. I cried in front of Target in broad daylight.
It
Like,
happens.
did he get PS5? Why is he crying like that?
Man, yeah, death is it's something. It's always about not about the person who died, but the people who got left behind, and the people that have to live without that person, because that other person is gone. I mean, it's just like, I just you think about shit. I just got off the phone with my parents trying to check on something, and it was just like it was a conversation that I didn't want to have. Just bullshit that I'll probably talk about one day in a one man show or some shit, but just not now. It'll come out in some way artistically. I hope that'll give me money from my trauma that you guys can say on social media. I don't like that movie because it's black trauma.
I know,
So,
right? That whole conversation killed me.
yeah.
It's like, because you're a cinephile like me. Just black
Yeah.
movies aren't black trauma. They come out every year. You just don't watch them.
Yeah, if you don't want to. It's like every week, everybody's watching Snowfall, but like that's not black trauma. It's just highly stylized and it's good acting and all that, but that's,
It's trauma.
yeah. It's like,
It is, and it's based on real shit that happened. And
Yeah.
it's still happening now. When people act like it's not, it's weird because every year, whether it's the photograph or whatever, there's a movie that comes out that's like, oh, it's a black love story. I'll see, and they don't necessarily support it in the same ways.
Right.
The movies are there, and there's such, like, here's the thing. It's fine for me. Like, I remember getting into it with this guy one time who was talking about the type of movies. And my point was, like, for my nephew, who's 15 now, this is the first time he's seen any of this. He didn't grow up with Roots. He didn't, like, so 12 Years a Slave is his first introduction to, like, oh, slavery was really bad.
Yeah.
So although for me, it's the 10th movie I've seen about this, for someone younger, it's their first film.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And when you look at these films, like, someone brought up a good point. Like, I don't know if we get Lupita if we don't get 12 Years a Slave. I don't know if we get Black Panther if Coogler doesn't do Fruitvale. So as much as people hate these films, like, they've been a springboard for so much black creativity in Hollywood that's not black trauma.
Right. Everybody else does it, everybody else talk. And I mean that's what art is in a lot of ways, is bringing your pain, grappling with it, and trying to make something beautiful out of it. Or yeah, so it's not, it's yeah. And if that doesn't float your boat, then don't watch it. But
Don't watch it.
that doesn't mean, just because it doesn't float your boat doesn't mean that everybody shouldn't see it, because you made you like shit. People can't watch Transformers the movie because Optimus Prime died. What the fuck? I mean,
Cried like a baby.
yeah, shit, man.
Man,
What's your take on the Oscars this year? This Did you watch?
I did watch. I
What did
watched
you
every
think?
year. It's just an odd year for film. Like, I think there's a lot of people just didn't see. I think
Yeah.
it just kind of threw people off. No one even knew when it was happening. Like, everything felt out of sorts. The awards themselves, I mean, I'm happy for people who got them. I think the ending just threw people for a loop. Like,
Yeah. D
it felt.
your boy David Chen said he didn't like it, but he was saying it was proof that they didn't know who was gonna, the producers didn't know who was gonna win, because they were setting it up for Chad.
I would have put all the money I have in my account on Chadwick winning.
Me too. Yeah.
I was shocked.
But I said this when I saw The Father.
You did.
I was like, oh shit, he killed that shit. It's the same way that I felt about Denzel in Fences when I was saying that whole season, like, oh, Denzel's got another gear. Yeah, he's Denzel and he's doing his Denzel thing, but there's another gear that he's got that he hasn't shown. And An Anthony Hopkins at 82, maybe 81, 82 at the time that he filmed that, I was like, holy shit. And the black Twitter was getting mad. I was like, but you have to see the movie. If
It's
you
good.
see the movie. Now, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, all it takes, like that
It's
monologue
a
is just like,
monologue.
it's like, hey man, that's, he put everything
Yeah.
in that. He put his
And that
whole,
monologue carries so much more weight. after he passed.
Right.
Talks about being angry with God, and like, I'm like, what was he was really tapping into something that he may have really been feeling at that moment.
Yeah. And so it was just like, and you had Riz Ahmed kill it in sound.
And that was my pick. Like the I saw that movie. It's that scene where he loses it, he goes to try to get his hearing fixed and it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
He's back and he's talking to Racy and he's upset. And he's signing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's subconscious, but he's like clearly irritated and like trying, and he's signing, and it's this moment where you're like, this kid has learned something.
Mm-hmm.
Despite everything, like, he's learned how to cope with what's happened to him. And I don't know if he can see it in the moment because he's so upset.
Yeah.
It was just a beautiful scene. I remember being like, and I've always loved Riz Ahmed.
Yeah.
Like, wow, he killed that man.
I want to revisit The Night Before, even though it got kind of weird towards the end.
Yeah.
His change was just so kind of crazy, but yeah. I think
the Reluctant Fundamentalists.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was a good one. that was a wild one too. I remember Kate Hudson was in that one, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. This was a year where the best actor category was kind of stacked. It was stacked. Yeah.
It's usually not that stacked. Usually, yeah. Like supporting actor or supporting actress or an actress are stacked. But this was a year where,
and you had Spillover in the best supporting actor category, which, you know, at least Daniel Kaluuya won. But it was fucking weird that he was over there in that section.
Yeah. And it was. I mean, we talked about his performance, and we talked about the scene at the church.
Yeah.
After Chairman Happy gets out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
We both said the same thing. Like, it gave me chills.
Yeah, I cried. I
that whole speech, and I was like, "Oh, Daniel's coming for whatever." And Lakeith, I think Lakeith gets overlooked, but he was damn good in that film.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying like it. Not a lot of people. One a review or some critic said something that stuck out to me was just kind of like the Casey Affleck performance in the assassination of Jesse James. So I was like, yeah, Lakeith played that to a T. It was just, he was a controversial figure and he was literally a bad guy. But it's like, you hate Lakeith like you hate Scott Walker in Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So basically the dude did his job, you know?
Did his job.
Yeah.
Like, you little snake.
Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah, that's good.
Yeah. That was the only surprise for me. I thought Nomadland, it just, the hype was just real for it. I thought it was okay. I love Frances McDormand, but I was like, you giving her third for that? I mean, okay.
But yeah, it was one of those movies that like I knew was just gonna win. Like Nomadland's gonna win. It's the year is gonna win.
It was just a juggernaut. It was like both those movies, Nomadland and Minari, were two films that I liked, but it was just like,
it was an odd year. I think this next year will be a little bit more chalked. I think, Oscar season rolls around. You're gonna have things will be a lot more open. People will be going to screenings and seeing movies and having more opinions. And
yeah.
It'll be a little different.
Yeah, because it was just kind of like, okay. But I want you to talk about this because we talked about a little bit about it last year. It was earlier on in the pandemic, I think. But like, to me, I still felt like it was a good year. You know, I still felt like I enjoyed a lot of different movies, and it was a lot of like it was really hard for me to make a list. Like for my top 10, you know?
Yeah. It was hard. I mean, it's good. I mean, I think it's good every year. I mean, when you're, I think people like us who are always seeking out something.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of misses, but you'll find these gems. Like I came up on Another Round late, but I really enjoyed Another Round.
Yeah, I did too.
I thought it was just an interesting story and it's fascinating to look at how, and I love Mads Mikkelsen. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, you'll find these gems. Like you find them at for me, like I do a comedy horror short film festival series every year.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a gem in there.
Have you seen?
Fascinating, like horror movie that's not like it's like super interesting. Like and we do film festivals here every year, and that's where you find these gems often.
Have you seen that movie Scare Me?
No.
I just bought it last week. I haven't watched it yet. Aya Cash and
Seen that movie.
Rachel Yamagata's half brother, I think. I don't know if you know who Rachel Yamagata is, but
He says that, brother.
she's one of my she's one of my favorite singer songwriters. But let me see. I'm gonna look this up.
No, wait, I did see Scare Me.
Oh, you did? Did you like it?
It's got a slow build. I love the end of it.
Okay, cool. I paid
It's
10
got this kind
bucks.
of slow build, but the ending is, yeah, I did see Scare Me.
Okay, cool. Cause
Ready
I
to go.
all right, cause I was looking forward to it. Cause sometimes you'll hear about something and then all of a sudden it ends up on iTunes. And ever since I got this iPhone, I can check on Tuesdays and Fridays to see like the new stuff that comes out. My only thing is like it's like you're paying like for some of them, like 20 bucks for some of these movies. I paid 20 bucks for Nobody. It was fun. Yeah. I still want to pull the trigger on Chaos Walking, even though everybody's shitting on it.
Everyone should know.
I still like it because part of it, the way that I rationalize it, it's like, okay, I would have gone to see it in the theater.
And probably pay $1.
Yeah, and I
Ticket,
probably would have
food,
paid
whatever.
like around that much. Have you been back to the theaters? Do you plan on going back
I do
soon?
plan on going back. My friends are having a little get together next week for Wrath of Man.
Okay.
In and out of theater, I'm fully vaxxed. You got to wear a mask in the theater the whole time. I feel safe enough to go.
Yeah.
And we're doing screening. We're having an in-person screening for In the Heights next week. I can't make it because of work, but they're starting in-person screenings again. They're starting slowly. They're letting people not safe. We can do it digitally. Like they're doing this whole, allowing people to be safe. But these studios, they're like, yo, that money's still coming. So we're going to keep the ball rolling.
When is In the Heights supposed to be released? Is that's soon?
It's got to be soon
Okay.
on it for screening it.
Is it going to be on HBO Max?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it. I will be watching it.
It's June 18th.
Okay, I'm more excited to see that than Mortal Kombat. I just kind of don't
You
care.
didn't see Mortal Kombat?
No,
It's fun.
I wasn't into fighting games when I was a kid.
I just remember the controversy over Mortal Kombat being too violent and like the blood, and it was all parents being upset that you were ripping people's spines out.
Yeah.
But the movies, it's a fun action adventure film, if that's what you're into, it's fine.
Okay, I mean, maybe I'll check it out before it. I just didn't feel the need to watch it. It was just kind of like,
Did you watch Godzilla?
yeah, I did.
It's in the same vein.
Okay.
A movie, same kind of stakes, same kind of ridiculousness.
Yeah. I'm excited about that Angelina Jolie movie, The People That
Yeah, that
Want
looks
Me.
looks depressing.
I'm gonna tank the shit out of it and
What is it called? I can't even. I don't. I'm not even gonna try it.
I'm
I'm
gonna
not.
look it up, but it's Those That Want Me Dead or something.
Yeah, something like that. It's close enough.
I wanna let me see. I'm gonna look it up.
It looks. Look it up. It looks interesting enough.
It's Taylor Sheridan, so I'll fuck with his shit. I liked Wind River. I liked
Yeah, the river was.
the other movie he did, the Hell or High Water.
One of my favorites.
I'll audition for one of his new TV show. Don't think I got it, but it was a good scene. Where the hell is it? Yeah, Those Who Wish Me Dead. Yeah, that's coming out May 14th.
Yeah.
That's right in my right down my alley, I would
Have you been
say.
watching Invincible?
No, but you nerds are just going ape shit over that. I gotta check it out. What is that show about?
I don't want to ruin it, but it's about a kid who realizes his dad's a superhero, and he realizes he sort of gets his superpowers, and he's learning how to be a superhero.
Oh, okay.
That's as much as I can say.
It's 8 episodes, right?
Eight episodes.
All right. An hour or half hour?
It's that's a good question. I think half hour.
Darker than Heroes?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Wow.
It gets real dark.
Okay, I'm gonna check it out.
It's
I need something else to watch. I'm really into Mayor of Easttown, so I'm doing like a little recap show of
I
that.
saw that.
Yeah, that's
I haven't watched it yet.
it's good, man. It's I'm that my favorite genre is like just like a fucked up detective, very flawed person.
Like Luther.
Yeah, that's my shit. So they kind of got a and Kate Winslet is killing it with her Delaware County accent.
Yeah, I
And
was gonna watch that new British show, but Homeboy got caught up on some sexual assault charges.
yeah, I just kind of like perused over that. Like,
Man, it's all bad. 'Cause it's that kind of like non-forcible sexual contact that men will often be like, oh, I was just goofing.
yeah.
Like exposing himself to women, trying to take them to his hotel to have sex and making people uncomfortable on the set, bullying, just a bunch of wild shit. But the one thing I did notice was, like his agency dropped him, production on his shows. His homeboy, his castmate on that show, Bulletproof, was like, distance himself real quick. The show was called Viewpoint. And I was like, oh, this is like my kind of jam. Like I watched some detective drama.
Yeah, I love that.
But I was like, nah, I can't even enjoy that no more because you out here being Deshaun Watson. Like, I don't understand it.
Oh man.
But yeah, anyway, so
Ooh.
yeah, it's when you read the Guardian article, it goes into detail. But it's the end of the article that to me was like crazy because he's essentially like, if you want me to apologize, I'll apologize. Like, okay, I'm sorry. Like,
Okay, I'm
yeah.
sorry.
All right. Sorry I mentioned your boobs. Like, dude, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's wilding, man. Like, it's yeah, it's but and I also noticed all these British actresses were all sharing that article. Lots of retweets on.
You just can't do that shit, man. Just get these checks, get to live
Get paid. You got a wife, go home.
live your dream.
You gotta be sending dick pics to people. You gotta be
Damn.
on the cast, slapping people on the butt. The one thing he was doing was like making women like audition for nude scenes and like secretly taping them. Bruh, I was reading that article like
Wow.
I lost his mind.
I need to read it.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's little long, not too long, but like they go into detail about what he did. And it's the thing where like say this happened to you, it would be like, oh, then yeah. And then Chris later on went and he told Tim about it. And then they're like, and Tim says, yeah, I remember him telling me about that. So there's a lot of that. Like the women would tell either their partners or their friends or their families, and the Guardian interviewed them and was like, yeah, they told me about that.
Jesus, man. Don't know. Some people just abuse their power. It's just crazy. It's.
Yeah, and think about it. He's been a rising star since he was on Doctor Who years ago.
I don't know the guy. I had to see his face. I think
You'll
I.
know him if you see him.
Yeah. That's unfortunate.
Unfortunate.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I like those kind of dramas. I like those
Yeah.
gritty crime dramas. So yeah, I'm gonna watch that show.
Yeah, it's first two episodes are out now. It's
Where's it on?
definitely, huh?
Is it on HBO Max?
Yeah, HBO Max. Yeah, it's really good. I'm into it. What else is like, are you with work? Are you doing stuff remotely? Are you
Both,
going in? Yeah.
like remotely, and then like for some stuff, I have to go into the office to do it for some film. So, but it's been cool. Like, I got three screens in my office. It's cool. There's no one there. It's quiet most days.
Yeah.
I realized early on in the pandemic, I needed that separation from work at home. Like, I
Yeah.
was at work all the time.
That's
And then
true.
I just turned off my laptop at work and went home.
Yeah.
Laptop is right here. I ain't turned it on. Like I left work, I left. But when my boss is emailing me stuff that needs to be done, especially during the pandemic, we're trying to figure some stuff out.
Yeah.
I gave him that grace, but for the most part, I'm trying to, it's 8 to 5 and I'm 8 to 4:30 and I'm out.
Yeah, it's hard, dude. It's when you have to go back, and it's like, ugh. Because I go in once a week now, and they're remodeling in the office,
Ugh.
and they're moving everything around, so we're kind of displaced anyway. So it's just like my boss, like yesterday, the construction crew was like, "We're gonna need your door," to my boss. I was like, "God damn!" She's like, "We really need it. Can we take it?" I'm like, "Shit, we shouldn't even be in. I don't think we should be in there, but." Whatever. So it goes.
Yeah, it is what it is. Like, it's fine. Like, my boss is really cool if I needed to like dip or work from home. Like,
Yeah.
even when stuff happened with my parents, he was like, man, if you need to work from Florida, like, that's cool. And I told him, I said, when Canada opens up, like, I'm going to Canada. If I gotta work from Canada for a week, I'll do it. But like, I just need to like a getaway, like just to go, but bang, the
Yeah.
clothes. And but man, Vancouver is such a close city and it's beautiful up there. And I would just
Yeah.
for a week and just chill.
Canada for me, the past 3 years was the Borgata in Atlantic City.
Canada's fun, man.
Just doing shows and for a whole week down there and just getting away from just stuff. You know, but yeah, I gotta, yeah, like I think the last couple of years I would go to that. I talked about it on the show, the Williamstown Theater Festival and stuff, and hopefully get back to doing some of that. I don't know, probably be next year, but I think theaters. I saw where a theater company in Chicago, they're doing stuff like starting late fall, so that's slowly coming back. So we'll see.
Have you been watching the NFL draft at all?
A little bit. Like I just wanted to make sure Justin Fields got drafted.
I saw that.
Yeah, so that's all I care about. And he's with the Bears, so I'll pay more attention to that. But yeah, like I kind of, you just want to, it's nice to see those guys get money,
Yeah,
and you just hope
dreams
stuff.
come true.
Yeah, like I always like that, but I just kind of, I haven't, I guess I've just paid a lot more attention to basketball. For the most part, but even then, my mind is just everywhere. It's just like, for the most part, I would just like to rent a new movie or something. You know what I mean?
I love the draft. Oh, I like the first round, but in the second round, later rounds, what I do love, I play a game with myself when I'm watching these families. I play a game called Girlfriend or Mom. Figure out which
Yeah, which is
is.
which?
Is that his girlfriend or is that his mom? And sometimes it's a toss-up.
Did you see the kid last night that as soon as his name got called, he walked away from his family? He's like, "I'm out." And I'm sure he's gonna take care of them and everything, but it was just so funny.
It's a lot. I don't know if you listen to I Am Athlete, but I was listening last week and it
I
was
do. So every now and then I watch him. I've been watching him.
Stephon Diggs was on there with Jarvis Landry, and they were talking about like when you get money and like the expectation from so many people around you. Crazy. Like, I remember Blake Griffin saying that when he got drafted, like people just calling him with like, hey, I was hoping you could help me out. I'm trying to get this new Benz. Like
What?
imagine everyone in your life all of a sudden knew you had $200 million. They're not factoring in agent fees or taxes. They're just like, Chris Lambert, 100 mil. I'm gonna call him and see what's up. And people feel like it's free money. Like, who would you tell if you won that much money?
Probably just my parents.
But so how do you then live this rich life without people knowing? Like, how do you maneuver that? Do you just move out the country? Like, I'm
I don't
moving.
think I would move. I would, I mean, I'd quit my job, but I would probably just pay all my bills and pay my debts and just get a better place.
How are you, Chris, you're downplaying this. How are you quitting your job? Are you showing up? Or are you just like,
I was putting my notice
oh, no,
say
show up for 2 weeks.
Oh, no, no, no. I wouldn't do that. No, no, no. I wouldn't do that. Nah.
You show up and you tell your boss, I'm putting in my 2 weeks.
There are certain times during my experience at the job that I'm currently at that I felt like doing it. But in my heart of hearts, I don't think I would ever do that half-baked thing. Fuck you. Fuck you. Yeah. You're okay. Fuck you. I kind of don't have it in me. You kind of, there's parts of you that feel that and you want that, you think that's going to come out, but it probably wouldn't. And even if I quit my job one day, hopefully that'll come in the near future where I get, yeah. I won't be able to handle what I'm with showbiz. I'd probably have like a moment where I would be set, like bittersweet tears of joy or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, leaving that place.
On some TV show.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a steady check.
Yeah.
So you got a couple seasons under your belt. Yeah.
The thing that got me what that was real as hell, Paul Racy, that got nominated for Sound of Metal. He was like, I've been a journeyman. I've been a day player for 30 years. And one piece of advice, don't quit your day job. And I was like, he's right.
Yeah.
Because most of the people I run into on set and stuff, they'll say, what do you do for your survival job? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's a different way to call it, to say it, like day job, survival job. I'm like, oh, yeah. So there's like this understanding that they, you know, we all kind of have when we're on set. But
that's why I understand when people are so elated when their show gets picked up for another season.
Oh, yeah.
I was interviewing some actor one time and they were saying like, yeah, the moment your project's done, you're unemployed.
Yeah. Anthony Mackie said that.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm unemployed.
Yeah. You're unemployed until you find another gig.
Yeah.
That's when I see people mess up these movie gigs. I'd be like, man, what are you doing? Why are you goofing around? Like,
this yeah. is a
gig. You're a paid actor. Like, people would kill for that. And you
right.
been stupid on the set or you know, harassing people or, you know, not being professional on the set. Because it's like a musician where, like, you could fuck up, but you can still tour. There's other ways to get money, right? You can still tour. You can do bar mitzvahs. You can do all kinds of stuff to get bread.
Yeah.
As an actor, like, you need that set and you need other people around you. You can't, you know, behave like a jackass and all the time.
So yeah, it's just like, don't be an asshole and do a good job. Yeah, like, I don't know. There's countless times where you see these things, you just roll your eyes at the people that don't. That's just within any field, though. Yeah. There's like jackasses in any field that you're in, you know. But yeah, to answer your question, I'd probably just do the normal thing, put in my 2 weeks, and
you tell your parents, and that's it.
Yeah, you know, I did.
When I see you with a Versace robe on Instagram, I'm gonna be like, strange.
And with inspirational quotes and
yeah.
I'd probably log off Instagram.
About how you would, I just see your feet and on a yacht and some island.
I would come to Seattle, hang out with you, and you'd take me to that place closed that you showed me.
Cinerama?
No. Well, I want to talk about that too.
Yeah.
What's Nate Robinson's chicken place that closed?
I don't think so. I don't know. I haven't been there.
Oh. Okay.
I haven't been by the sea. I'm going to check it out.
So, left around here though. Cinerama closed in Seattle too?
Cinerama closed.
Damn. I mean,
but that's what I would do. Like, if I won, I would reopen Cinerama. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful place, man. And we were laughing because for the last few years, we would screen like Infinity War, Endgame, like on my birthday at Cinerama.
Mm.
For the last like few years, like these big Marvel movies that would come out, that would open around that time. And I love that theater. There are good people who worked there were great. The staff, like, it's a beautiful theater. It's the best movie experience I've ever had in a theater.
And nobody's trying to save it or anything?
I don't know. I hope so. We got a lot of millionaires running around here, a bunch of nerdy tech people with bread. I hope so.
Because you see all these famous people that are like, oh, sad it's gone.
Yeah, like the Santa Barbara. I'm like, y'all can't save it?
Yeah.
Unless you're not really rich like that, you save it. I would do that. I'd save that. I'd tell my sister, a couple of my friends, I'd give my friends money, but I wouldn't tell them I got. I'm like, here's some money for you.
Yeah.
I want to be the only friend with, like, going to Vegas and they broke and I'm like, give you some money.
Oh, yeah. You would give friends money, but.
I'd pay for a vacation.
Yeah.
I'd want to go to like an island somewhere and like do nothing for like a month.
Yeah.
Chill out.
Right.
Month and not do anything. And then figure out what I want to do with the rest of my life.
Sure. Yeah. There's something else I wanted to ask. What do you think? I know we talked a little bit about video games. What you're playing the show. How did you pre-ordered your PS5, right? When the
my friends were pissed, yes, because I was the only one who got one. it was super random because I was at work. I saw something on Twitter about how they're on sale. I'm leaving work and I'm in like the parking lot. And I was like, I can order when I get home. I was like, I can do it from my phone. So I go to Target on my phone.
Yeah.
They didn't have any more digital left. They have the disc. I order it, send my cart. So I screenshot it, send it to my friends. Yep, got mine. And they're all like, we didn't get one.
And they're like, fuck you, man.
Yeah, pretty much. I didn't know. I just randomly, I got it. So I took the day off when it came. So, you know, launch day, I had that. I got Miles Morales and I got the 2K.
Miles Morales is crazy.
It was fun. It was short, but fun.
Yeah.
And I haven't had a console in so long, so I got the Miles Morales that came with the remastered Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. So I played that and beat that, which was like that's a fun game.
Yeah, it's really great. That's probably, that's got to be one of the best superhero games of all time.
It's great. The swinging, all that. The music of Miles Morales is what got me. Like, the music is great, and like, it feels different than the Spider-Man game.
Yeah. Don't you still think Miles is better, stronger than Peter?
Yeah, he's got that. You can shock and turn invisible and do a bunch of.
Yeah, because I was listening to like critics on YouTube talk about like, yeah, you know, although Miles doesn't have as many gadgets, I'm like, he doesn't need any gadgets.
Yeah.
He's stronger.
Spider-Man is fun though.
He is, but you know, just the way that he plays with that Venom punch and all that, it's like. Yeah. It's ridiculous how
it looks cool. So right, so I'm Spider-Man. I'm using the Amazing Spider-Man suit.
Okay.
It looks good. It looks like the texture and everything looks dope.
Yeah.
So I've been playing 2K, and I was playing some challenge the other day, and I had to beat the 87 Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
And Kareem was killing me, man. Every time Kareem got the ball near or around the hoop, it was a bucket.
Yeah.
My team was getting destroyed. And I was like, this isn't.
Who did you have?
On my squad, I had, so John Stockton is really good. So I had Stockton on my squad. Zion, Embiid at the center, Klay Thompson, and I think Luka.
How did you put them together? Is it just like the my team thing?
My team, yeah, I was doing the my team thing.
That's a pretty stacked run. You must have been playing a lot. That's pretty stacked.
Yeah. We're not that. I mean, it's fun. The bench is kind of soft, but
okay. Yeah, I bought the shit for $50 for PS4 because I couldn't wait, and I didn't know how long it would take for me to get a five.
Yeah,
and then I was like, "There's no, I gotta get the upgraded next gen." So I just said, "You know what? I got it," and it looks amazing. It is.
You've been playing it.
Been playing it a little bit, but it's like you get it and it's just kind of like, I got a PS5, and it's kind of like, I just think that, dude, it hasn't been the same since over a year ago, since my weekend with Ellie. And
I know, you know, I haven't played that game yet.
It's not for everybody. I wouldn't be mad at you. Buying it. You almost bought it.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy it and play it.
Well, how much is it right now? It's probably super cheap. Man.
Yeah, it was super cheap last time I looked. It was like 30, I think, last time I looked. I could be wrong. But no, so too many people who I trust love it.
It's amazing. But, I mean, I don't know. You might want to play part one first.
Okay.
It's on, like, that's a 12-hour game.
Yeah. But they're in Seattle, and, like, it looks like downtown Seattle.
Yeah, when you, I'm, yeah. That's one reason I would want you to play it, to see what you think about the, how it
looks. They're right by my old job at one point. I was like, this is My office is, my old office is right there. You can see it in the
And it's
gas.
all, yeah, it's like $30 at Walmart. It's worth it. It's cheap. And then part one, you can, I would say play part one first, but it's a fantastic series. Only game I platinumed. Well, Tim, I think that this has been good, dude. I think we'll wrap this up here, and then we'll do our Patreon stuff.
Yeah.
You could plug anything you have, man. Plug anything you got going on. You got a podcast.
Got a podcast, Man in the 80s. We're doing 80s movies. We just did. So for my for our birthdays with my co-host Shalia and Kendon, we can pick whatever movie we wanted. Heist, which is a terrible movie from 2007 with Bone Crusher and E-40, and it's about a bunch of black dudes who rob a bank in the middle of a zombie apocalypse.
Oh, I heard, I think I heard of that one.
It's
Yeah.
pretty, and like it's Big Daddy Kane is in it, and he's
Oh, I think
hilarious.
the homies from Medium Popcorn talked about that one
They
too.
may have. It's a bad one. So every week we do some 80s something. It's fun. So you can check. And I'm still doing movie reviews. I just get back in it. So
Yeah. Well, Tim, this has been great as always, man. Thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate you, man. And we'll talk to you next week, everybody. Take it easy.